This is the Tom Likas Show.
I didn't even feel no pressure.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Shit. Okay, that's cool.
Third, thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. Something else. This is where you hear us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24/7 at blowmeuptom.com. You can hear our show on demand. Just go to premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. I am here for a bonus hour, and we are here with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, I'm going to tell you what distracted me.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, you have to picture this in your mind, okay? On the screen, you have a client we're about to speak to.
Okay.
And Dean typed the words, Adam Sachs's client, on the screen. But if you look at the word client in your peripheral vision, it doesn't look like the word client.
Oh, dear. What did it look like?
Well, another word that starts with C and ends with N-T. And I'm like, what is a cunt doing calling on line 12? I don't get it.
We have a lot of fun here at the Tom Likas
Show. We do indeed. Absolutely. So, Adam is here every Tuesday, and he's here with free legal advice for those of you who've been, maybe you've been accused of a crime you didn't commit. Maybe you did commit the crime, but they don't have proof, or maybe you'd like to have your record expunged, and we'll take your calls coming up here at 901-3000-TOM if you'd like some free legal advice from Adam, 901-3000-866. So, Adam, what's going on?
Well, we had last week we were doing family law, and there's a lot of drama going on in family law.
Yes.
But I'm really pleased to be talking about criminal law this week, and there's certainly a lot of issues and a lot going on in criminal law. But I got to tell you, Tom, we got to get back to the basics. Because I was kind of skipping over it for a while because I figured I had pretty much gotten through to everybody. But a lot of the boys are forgetting what they're supposed to do, and it really takes a toll. It's very interesting how these things develop and how they accelerate very quickly. And that's why I'm really excited to have my client on. What are we calling him tonight?
We're calling him Robert.
And that's his name.
Okay.
And
Robert's
Robert's a very interesting case because I think he'll tell you himself, but he's a long-standing P1, and he loves the show. And I've met him even before he was my client. I met him at the parties and whatnot. And he, by following some of the very basic things we talked about what would have been basically a DUI, he actually had it much easier on himself as things developed. So can we get him on?
We can. He's right here. Robert.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, Adam.
Thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, man. I just want to make sure, everybody, gets their head straight about what, needs to go down when you get pulled over.
Now, it's really great for you to talk about it, Robert, because obviously we have an ongoing case, but your case is unique, and I'm very hopeful that it's going to just be, dismissed. It's going to fall apart against you. But it starts off kind of like a DUI case, right?
Yeah, sure.
So you had, I'm sorry, you had, as I understand you, I'm trying to remember, you almost got into an accident, right? Can you tell the story?
Well, in my neighborhood, these kids, you think they're, too fast, too furious, driving their little rice rocket Hondas. And one was coming straight at me while I was turning, just around the corner from where I live. So, I did the only thing I could to avoid a head-on collision was I gunned it and I hit an Edison power pole.
So, right. So, avoiding hitting this guy who was driving crazy, you ended up going into a pole.
Yeah.
And you messed up your car pretty bad, right? Yeah.
Excuse me, you got cut off for a second.
I'm sorry. I was saying you messed up your car pretty bad?
Yeah, well, it was, I got out, checked it out. No damage to anything else but that, my own truck. So I just jumped in and, made a half a block trek to the house, But then I guess about an hour later, the CHP showed up and they followed my trailer here for my truck.
There you go. So I think that the car had antifreeze or whatever dripping, and they followed the trail to his house, which is very close to the scene.
Yeah.
So this is important, and people have to remember this in police encounters. You know, it's intimidating, right? It, you know, the cops there with the gun and the badge and all that stuff, and they're trying to get you to do things. And I talked a little bit about being, you know, cooperative and respectful, but not necessarily doing what they want.
Oh yeah, well shit, man. They wanted to rough me up because I was killing them with kindness. You know, they said, are you going to make this hard on us? Because I told them, no sir, I respectfully decline any type of field sobriety test and or breathalyzer. And my father would happen to be there. You know, he said they started pulling out their batons because they wanted me to just fess up and, you know, just give them what they wanted so they can, you know, get me.
Wow. That's really hard to hear that, you know. I hate to think that the police are, you know, so inclined to intimidate people and to use violence, you know, or the threat of violence, I suppose. But we talked about this a lot, particularly in the case of traffic pullovers and DUIs, that you don't want to do a field sobriety test. You don't want to play with even the eye test that they try to do. And you certainly don't do the breathalyzer.
Nothing. Don't say nothing, like you always say. Don't say anything.
Yeah. Shut up.
Don't say shit, man. It's, you know, hey, I'm entitled to, you know, to keep silent and entitled to a lawyer. And well, don't sign anything when they take you in either.
Yeah, by the way, it's very common that they want to write a statement. They want you to sign a statement. They say these things to you. They use psychology, and they'll say, look, we're trying to help you. You don't you want to cooperate? There's a hard way to do this and an easy way to do it. Let's try it the easy way. You don't want to do it the hard way, you know, things like that.
Yeah, they wanted me to do it the hard way, you know. I was giving them the hard time. But, you know, I did everything you said pretty much to the T.
So in the context of that, so this was, like, literally on the porch of your house, right?
Yeah, right in front of the house.
And they're trying to con you into doing a blow test, right?
Yeah, sure. I wasn't doing that.
And people need to know this because when you say no, and particularly when you want to remain silent, which is your right, obviously, people say, you know, right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you. It's really important because people always forget, you know, that's the Miranda versus Arizona, your Miranda rights. The police will hawk you about that. So even though you've said no, they'll keep bugging you and they'll say, come on, right?
Yeah.
Try to get
sure,
you to, like, change your mind.
I don't even remember them reading me my rights.
They may not have, but what I'm saying is that when you decline the breath test, they don't just take no for an answer, right? They keep bugging you to do it.
Yes, no, they insisted upon it.
Right. They keep kind of suggesting you have to do it, you got
to
do
it. You don't have to do anything.
That's right. Now, you had a very interesting thing happen. So you didn't do the breath test, and so they picked you up and they took you to the hospital, right?
Yeah, they took me to the clinic, checked me out to do a supposed, you know, blood test or whatever, and I guess they took me some clinic. You know, everybody happened to be sick at one time, and I don't know, something. There was a whole lot of people in there, and it just took so goddamn long that the officers just said, you know what, we don't have time for this shit. You know, they said, let's get out of here.
How do you like that, Tom?
Love it!
So
didn't even have to go to court with you!
Well, so he still does. Hold on. We're not quite out of the woods. But you did pick up correctly, Tom. What ends up happening is they took him to this clinic. It's late at night, and there's a lot of people there, bullshit, whatever, long line. And the cops waited for a while and got tired of it and said, the hell with it. And he ended up not getting the blood test. How do you like that?
Wow.
Now, I've often said that it was good. There's a guy who called me the other day. He did a blow test, even though I told him not to. And it was 0.08, which is right on the line. That's illegal. But that's right on the threshold. And if he had insisted on a blood test, probably in another hour or two, by the time they got him to the clinic and did the blood test, just the normal metabolism of his body could have reduced the blood level from 0.08 to 0.07. He would have been legal. But this guy jumped the gun and did the blow test. Yours is great because you go for the blood test, and the cops take you, and you piss around for an hour or two, and they finally said, how did they say it to you? Like, let's get out of here?
They said, this is taking too damn long. We got to go. We were there for like 2.5 hours.
So you see, you appeal to their psychology.
I don't know.
They said, Jesus, man, this is crazy. I got to go get some donuts. Get me out of here. So then
they were young guys too, man. And you know what? I was being they knew where I worked, and you know they knew everything. You know what was up with me. So
sure.
I was being pretty straight up with them, except for you know admitting to the you know I was drunk part.
Well, that's great. Whatever, man. That's life. You know, we're only thinking about how it affects your case. And the reality is they didn't have the evidence because the blood test wasn't ultimately done, and you were cooperating. You went to the clinic. You didn't scream and yell. And in the end,
cool as a cucumber.
There you go. 2 hours went by. The cops said, the hell with this, and they let you go, right?
Yeah, that's the big difference, man. You just got to, you know, maintain yourself with those guys and be, you know, be respectful and, you got a good chance of getting out of it.
Well, talk about how this thing where they were, like you said, they were touching the batons or whatever. I mean, did you feel really physically intimidated?
Not so much because my mother and father were standing right there, right there. I mean, they probably would have, you know, if they felt that they needed to, you know, give me a good bashing, I'm sure they would have. But
I know, but you're not doing anything to ask for that.
No, not at all. But other than you know, retaining my rights as to denying the blood test and whatnot, I mean, the breathalyzer and field sobriety.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only thing I did because they wanted an open and shut case.
Right. Okay, so there we go. So what they end up doing in your case, which is just remarkable, because they, you know, Tom, as we said, we're not quite out of the woods. They couldn't charge him with a DUI because they didn't have any evidence. They charged him with a hit and run because they're saying that he hit the pole and then he drove home. Now, we have a number of defenses to that where we're thinking that, first of all, the pole wasn't damaged, it doesn't seem at all, and he had his car very close to his house. It was only a few blocks away, and so he didn't want to just leave it there and abandon it in the middle of the night, and his plan was to contact the authorities the next day. So it wasn't quite a hit and run. And we've been offered, to settle. We've been offered a very, very favorable deal. But we're thinking of maybe actually going further and seeing if they're going to push it or they're going to let it go. We may have to go on trial. It's a tough decision. Isn't that right, Robert?
Yeah, but you know what? I think the odds are in my favor, and I got you behind me, so I think we'll be all right.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I'm trying very hard for you, but it's one of those things, again, we talked about this a few times on the show, that you know, as it gets closer to trial and as the evidence fleshes out, generally the prosecutors kind of are trying to make a deal. You know that less than 1% of cases go to trial. And it ends up being a lot of energy and a lot of time. And they start offering you a deal that's almost too good to say no. You know, are they going to give you, I don't know, a year of probation or some kind of minor fine, no big deal. And you start thinking, you know, why go to trial if I can take that deal? It's much more risky. And in your case, I think you're innocent at this point. I don't think they have the evidence. And I think that we're going to end up walking away from this, which I think is great. And I have to say, I give you the credit. It's 100% because you followed some basic principles like we talked about. And obviously, some of it's attributable to luck, which is the fact that the blood test never got done or whatever. But at the same time, the way you behaved and the way you handled yourself, and I think it's particularly in the intimidating situation, even with your parents present, where the cops are kind of, you know, ganging up on you a little, and you just handled it professionally, courteously, but at the same time, you stuck to your guns, as it were. You stuck to your principles, right?
Yeah.
So what would you say to the boys? Tell me.
Well, everybody probably just takes this all with a grain of salt, everything, you know, they say about DUIs, but, man, it sure worked for me. And if you freaking want to try and think these cops are being cool with you, they're not your friends, man. They're out to freaking bust your ass. And if you give them just an inch, they're going to take a mile, man. And don't do no freaking breathalyzer test, field sobriety test. Don't even talk to them if you can't avoid it.
Yeah. You know, that's not a sign of disrespect either. You know, you got to recognize the job of the police is to put people in jail. I don't know how people don't realize that. I mean, it's nothing personal. They don't hate you. You know, you'd hope they're being professionals. But at the same time, their job fundamentally is gathering evidence and presenting it to court. So when people say, you know, like, oh, the officer John was nice to me, it's like, man, what are you talking about? This is exactly the listen, you're never going to see him again. He's not like, you know, in the neighborhood cop that's friends with your brother or something, you know? This is a cop that's going to come to court on your court day and testify against you. and they're going to say, what was he acting like? What did he say? And he's going to refer to you and things that make you sound guilty and the evidence he gathered against you. Now, you can't say that, you know, he's being an asshole. He's doing his job. And in trying to gather evidence, and if you're resisting and he's telling you bullshit and acting nice to you, you know, they have that thing with the good cop and the bad cop. So there's one kind of cop that's being nasty to you to get information. And then there's another kind of cop who's trying to be your friend and act like your friend, a false friend, of course. But the bottom line is that's also to get information from you. That's all it ever was. And by the way, with respect to the DUI, you know that I do defenses in a lot of different criminal aspects, but particularly when we talk about these principles that you're talking about now with me, about not talking and not giving evidence and not giving away the game and so forth, you know, that doesn't just apply in DUI. You know, that applies to all sorts of criminal matters. You always keep your mouth shut. And by the way, your situation, as we see, changed from being a DUI. And all of a sudden, you know, it's hit and run, or it could have been reckless driving, that sort of thing. So these things do shift. And people say, you know, whatever you are, you know, a bank robber, it doesn't matter. It's the same principle. You know, when you have confrontations and you have contact with the police, you don't talk to them. It's the same exact idea.
Yep.
What do you say?
Yes, sir. Man, it's working out so far, so we'll find out at the end of the month, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a few more weeks. So it's good to have you on the show. Thank you. And thanks for sharing your story with the boys. And I'm pretty hopeful that things are going to work out.
Yep. Thanks, Tom. Thanks to everybody. Thanks, Adam.
Robert, thank you. Appreciate the call. Now, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, Adam, I want to talk about a video about DUI that went viral on the internet recently.
Really?
Yes.
What happened?
Well, we're going to talk about it when we come back. That's called a tease, and it kind of makes people stay tuned for the next segment. So,
we're teasing the guest also.
Well, the thing is, though, when you're about to go to a break, that's when you tell people, coming up.
I got to remember this if I win the auction.
Well, if you win the auction, yes, but whoever, whenever you're doing a show, you do what's called a tease. All right, coming up. And then that makes people curious enough to stay around and see what's happening next.
All right, I'm going to put my bid in.
That's how it works. I don't tell you before the break. That wouldn't make sense.
No, I know, but I'm going to put my bid in now.
Then you put your bid in. That's gone. That's good. We have till Friday night on that.
Excellent.
People are bidding for the chance to host the show. All right, 901-3000-TOM is our telephone number. If you'd like to talk to criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs, he's answering your legal questions here at 901-3000-TOM. It's 901-3000-866.
So, how do you like our
little internet project
now? 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Boys, I've been encouraging you for years, using the services of a professional to help you navigate some of the more difficult times in life can be invaluable. It has been for me, and it's great to hear that so many of you have been taking back control with the help of our friend Paul Beatty at Sydney Counselors. Paul has years of experience helping guys who suffer from severe crisis, suicidal tendencies, and more. He studied a range of approaches and can tailor sessions based on what works for you. Now, this is one-on-one counseling designed to address issues head-on and help you get back on track. Paul's focus is to help men find their own way through many common issues, alcohol and other addictions, depression, self-esteem, coping with crisis, and managing anxiety and stress, even getting over relationships. Now, if you're in Sydney, you can meet for face-to-face counseling at Paul's office in North Sydney. Or, if you're anywhere else in the world, you can meet with Paul via Skype or phone from the comfort of your own home. Visit Sydney Counselors at supportforguys.com. Go there now, supportforguys.com, and take back control today.
You know, America loves the Gary and Dino Show. Unfortunately, the feeling's not always mutual.
Not only won't I respond to your stupid fucking email, I hope you never listen to the show. You're unwelcome to listen to the show. If there was a way I could make it that when you downloaded the show, it would fucking blow up in your face, I would do it today.
Guts, glory, stupidity.
You prick.
The Gary and Dino Show.
Fuck you.
Go to GaryandDino.com.
Webinars by Dennis are back with secrets of self-employment and success not taught in school. Webinars by Dennis could be exactly what you need to get on the road to financial success. In his 30 years as a consultant and tax professional, Dennis has seen it all, breaking down the books of hundreds of clients and even helping people like you start their own business ventures. And with that experience, he's developed a trusted reputation as having a unique and insightful look at both the successes and pitfalls of those seeking to attain personal wealth. And now he's sharing his knowledge with you in a series of videos packed full of experiences, anecdotes, and practical tricks of the trade that can help you find that business angle that's been eluding you. Watch them on your PC, Mac, or smartphone and become inspired to succeed in the way you've always dreamed. Just go to webinarsbydennis.com. That's webinarsbydennis.com. You could be one video away from living the dream.
Cover time.
It's the Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. If you've been accused of a crime that you didn't commit, how about one you did commit? But they don't have the proof.
Oh, dear.
That happens. Maybe you committed a crime in the past. You'd like to have your record expunged. These are all things that Adam can do. And he can answer your questions about criminal law right now at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM is our number. It's 901-3000-866. Before we get to our calls, and we do have calls coming in, and you're welcome to join us. All right, there was this video online. It was a guy who follows a website called Fair DUI. And there's something called the Fair DUI website. And on it, they recommend that people put a flyer in their windshield. This is in Florida. And the flyer says the following. It says, I remain silent.
Go
no
away.
Searches. I want my lawyer. It says, please put any tickets under windshield wipers. I am not required to sign, and that is under paragraph 318.14, parentheses 2. It says, I am not required to hand you my license. These are in Florida law. And this is paragraph 322.15. Thus, I am not opening my window. I will comply with clearly stated lawful orders. He put that in a Ziploc bag with his driver's license and his registration and taped it to his windshield and drove up to a DUI checkpoint. And there's a video of this guy being waved right through without rolling down his window.
I see.
Now, what do you think about that?
Adorable.
Adorable.
You know, there's one that I saw where the guy, like, you know, only opened it up a crack, and he did that whole thing, and they took their police dog, and they literally had the dog scratch all over his car. And I don't know if you've ever seen the checkpoint that happened to Mr. Checkpoint Senate.
Yes.
Where he kind of did the same type of thing, and the cop actually was really an asshole and took him in and gave him a hard time. As I said, you know, this is great stuff, and I'm really glad if it worked for this guy, particularly in Florida or whatever the circumstances were, and it's nice to see this viral thing. It's probably not such a good idea.
Yeah, if you look at the Fair DUI website,
yes,
I'm looking at
yes.
it right now, there are various videos of people using this same tactic in Florida.
Yeah, maybe in Miami or something, I don't know. You know, that's cool. I mean, broadly speaking, this one guy also has a T-shirt that says, I'm not talking and I want my lawyer. So that's great. You know, you have to be smart about it. And, you know, there's really no one size fit all. My experience with the police has generally been not that bad, right? And you've always said, Tom, we're pretty big supporters of the cops.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, there are some crazy ones. A video that's viral today, by the way, where the cop apparently shot someone, killed him, and then the cop was shown crying, you know, afterwards. He felt very remorseful having taken a life, even if it was justified or whatever. So there's supposed to be this crazy thing where you have, like in Ferguson, these trigger-happy cops, supposedly, that, you know, shoot people and have a good time of it, particularly minorities or whatever. You know, I'd like to think that the world isn't like that, that most cops are not like that. And in these checkpoint circumstances, generally speaking, you know, and this is also the pullovers that we talk about, if you're correct and respectful, I really don't think you're going to have a problem. And even if you're not doing exactly what they want, as we just heard Robert on the phone, you know, the cops followed him to his house, and they're saying to him, come on, man, you know, do the blow. And he's going, I really don't want to. I'm not going to. And they're saying, come on, you know, you're not working on the thing. You're not following the rules. You know, why are you making it hard on yourself? And he's saying, look, I'm not doing it, and I want my lawyer. And so ultimately, they kind of got tired of him, you know, that line, and they took him to the clinic to do the blood test, which I've always said is okay to do the blood, and 2.5 hours of waiting, and they said, the hell with it. So that ends up working very much in his favor. You know, when you look at the circumstances in these situations, generally speaking, I guess you could give the cop a card and go, here, ha-ha, fuck you, officer, I know my rights, but that's probably not the smartest way to approach. It's probably better to give some modicum of cooperation, but at the same time, know your rights.
Let's go to your calls here for Adam Sachs at 901-3000, Tom, 901-3000-866. John in Campbell, California, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, John. How are you?
Great. Thank you. Thanks for asking. Adam, you do great stuff. I'm so glad you're in the men's advocacy business like Tom. On behalf of everybody, thanks for all you do. I was hoping you could clear something up for me, because I kind of forwarded some of this information. I'm sharing it with my friends as I'm trying to turn them on to listening to the show on Tuesdays, and then maybe get you some clients in the future.
Thank you.
And I get a response from one of my lawyer friends, and he said that if you refuse the FSTs, I'm reading off his response to me, if you refuse the FSTs or breathalyzer, your license is suspended by the DMV for a mandatory 1 year. The DMV and district attorney in the state of California work independently of one another. So Uber through Tom's channel and you got it off. Well, I had that last part.
I understand. You know, the bottom line is certainly better off with Uber or rideshare or whatever. I agree with that, of course. I know the boys here at the New Normal use those all the time, and it's really, really convenient. Obviously better than getting a DUI in the first place. It is true, and when I represent people in DUIs, I'm representing them on two tracks, which is the legal aspect, which is obviously the courts in California and whatever county, which is the DUI charge. And then there's also the second track, as you said, which is really actually quite separate, which is the DMV. And you only have a couple of days after the arrest to try to protect your license, to have what's called a DMV hearing. I do them all the time. I'm very successful with them. And they do share, like, the same proof and the same evidence from the same, obviously, arrest or the police report or whatever. And according to the law and according to, you know, when you get your driver's license, you've given what's called an implied consent, which means that you're agreeing that as the basis of having your license that you're not going to refuse a test. Now, what I talk about, which I've explained, which is important, is that the breathalyzer is a bunch of crap. It really actually is. The companies that make them have been sued in class action cases where they won't release their proprietary software. Nobody knows exactly how these things work. They're not very accurate. Very often the police using them are not good at them. They're not trained as much as they should be. They're not calibrated. They also get affected very much by temperature. So in other words, if it's cold outside and the thing has been sitting in the police car, let's say it's dirty, it doesn't have filtration that's been changed. I talked to someone the other day, a lady who got arrested for a DUI, and she totally ignored what I said, and she tried to do the breathalyzer. The police insisted, and she cooperated, and she was blowing it 10 times. I mean, they kept giving it to her, and she kept blowing it, and it kept having an incorrect reading, or it wasn't able to figure out what it was doing, and they got really angry with her. I mean, they don't know what they're doing. It's crap. That's why I've always said you are not endangering your license by insisting on having a blood test. It is acceptable. You have to agree to do a test. Now, we do have people that go nuts and won't do a blood test and won't do a breath test, and that's just considered a general refusal. And in that case, which I do not recommend, but in that case, it's what you're talking about, that can definitely result in the automatic loss of license. I have fought those also. But that is not what I advocate to people. I think you should insist on the blood test because it's going to be more accurate. It's going to be a few hours later, so your alcohol level will be lower because there'll be more time to metabolize. And you never know what's going to happen in life. Look what happened to my client who called in before. By the time they got screwing around at the hospital, after 2 hours, the cops gave up on it, and he didn't end up having the test. And because the cops are the ones that, you know, stopped it from happening, it wasn't his fault. So that can't be held against him. How's that?
That's good stuff. So if I understand correctly, keep fighting for the blood test.
You don't have to fight for it. There's no fighting. You can always call me, of course, but you don't have to fight for it. It's like the wrong word to use. You just have to be firm.
What's the right word?
You have to be firm. That's all. The police are going to want you. The first thing they're going to want to do is they're going to try to shine the light in your eyes, which is this vision thing that they like to do. Basically, you look away. You don't cooperate. You don't want lights flashed in your eyes, okay? Period.
So insist on the blood test.
Hold on.
The blood test.
One more second. When you come out of the car, they're going to ask you to come out of the car. They're going to say, can we search your car? No. Please don't search my car. I don't give consent. Second of all, they want to do what's called the field sobriety test. That's when you walk a straight line and touch your nose and all that stuff. You are going to fail that test no matter what. If you're stone-cold sober, you're going to fail that test. It's totally subjective. And by failing that test, that gives them probable cause to continue the investigation. You always say, I do not want to do the field test. And then the next thing is going to be the breathalyzer. And like you say, I don't want to do it. And they're going to say, come on, you got to do it. We need you to do it. You're supposed to do it. Why aren't you cooperating? And you say, I'm sorry, nothing personal. I need my lawyer, and I want a blood test. What's the big deal? I don't see why that's so traumatic for people.
I don't know. Fortunately, I haven't had that experience yet. I'm not going to look.
Well, I hope you don't.
So, you know, after the blood test, then just make sure we get in contact with you and talk about keeping our license from getting suspended.
By the way, and don't make any comments. I've had a couple of guys say things to the cop like, oh, I can't believe I did this, and I really screwed up, and I'm so fucked, I shouldn't have drank those 5 beers. And just shut up. Shut up. Everyone out there today, Tom is so right about this. You're raised by single mothers. You're a bunch of fucking girls, okay? Shut up. You don't have to gossip with the cop.
Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up!
I want you to think about it. I know it sounds silly, but I want you to think about it from my point of view, okay? Like you say, you're going to contact me. You're going to hire me. Give me something to work with. Why make my job harder? Why decrease your odds? The less you say, the more you follow what I'm talking about, the more likely I'm going to be able to get it dismissed. And that's what we both want, right?
That's good. Yeah, I don't clean the house before the housekeeper comes.
Yeah, it sounds good to me. And by the way, I talk to guys all the time who say to me, I remember your show. I always listen. I knew what to do, and I still didn't do it. And I'm like, why not? And they're like, I don't know. Okay, that's called insanity. Best avoid.
Yeah.
All right, John, thank you. I appreciate that call. 901-3000. Tom is our telephone number. This is our bonus hour with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs answering your legal questions at 901-3000-866. Mario in Wilmington, California, you're on the Tom Likas show with Adam. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, Tom? And what's going on, Adam?
Hey, Mario, how you doing?
I'm doing good, doing good. No, I just wanted to share a little story that happened to me today because I'm always listening to you guys' show and I'm listening to you guys saying, don't say nothing, stay quiet, whatever. Long story short, this morning, there was a so-called break-in at a mechanic shop down the street from my work.
Okay.
So I'm opening up my gate at my job. Cop pulls up and guns drawn. Supposedly the description is 5'10 Hispanic wearing a gray sweater.
Great. That's nice and vague, right? That could be almost anybody.
Yeah, and I was like, well, I've been at work, and I pointed to the sign that the cameras are, like, being surveillance because I work for it's a company where it's like, it just needs round-the-clock surveillance. I said, they're like, well, you got to come with us so they can pinpoint to see if it was you or not. I said, I'm not going nowhere. I was like, I'm not going nowhere. If they want to come over here and point me out, That they can go do that. I was like, I know my rights. And if you guys want to go further, I got to talk with my lawyer and present, and that's it.
Good for you, man.
Oh, they were upset. They were getting kind of mad. I started walking. I was like, I'm going back into my, unless I'm getting arrested, I'm going back to work. And
damn right.
They kind of followed me in. The owners came out, and they backed me up. They're like, what are you talking about? He's been here, for the past 3 hours. When did this happen?
The classic psychology, and I've heard this time and time again, In the circumstance you just described, the cops will use psychology and they'll say, hey, don't you want to clear your name? Don't you want to, let's clear this up. Let's clear your name. okay? And you know what? You can kiss my ass. My name is clear, okay?
Yeah.
And you're not going to fuck with me. You don't have probable cause. I need my attorney here. Come here when you're ready to arrest me. Otherwise, fuck off, okay?
Yeah, and then I know the guys at the mechanic shop. I went over there during my lunch break. I was like, hey, you guys got broken into? They're like, nah, we didn't get broken into.
What?
Oh. I was like, oh, really?
Are you kidding me?
That's what, yeah.
So what does that mean? Wait a minute. So there was no break-in?
There was no break-in, and to me, I think it was they were racial profiling.
Oh, that's bizarre.
So,
well, listen, if that's true, I'm really sorry, dude.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I mean, that's what the guys at the mechanic shop told me, and that they were no break-in, but, I mean, it is not the best neighborhood in the world either.
No, but even so, and that means that they were just screwing with you, maybe, like you say, profiling. I hate to think that that's true. But the reality is, like you say, you know, the police are supposed to investigate, and they're supposed to question people and arrest people on the basis of what's called probable cause. Probable means like likely, you know, more than 50%. So when they have a very vague description of, you know, African-American male or Hispanic male, you know, 5'9" with T-shirt, I mean, that doesn't mean anything. And the reality is that cops are lazy. If they have someone who approximately matches, and it might as well be this guy, they're not going to go start looking for someone else. They already got you. So, you know you're innocent, but believe me, there's plenty of innocent people in jail that didn't want to have to hire a lawyer, didn't have the money, couldn't deal with the aggravation. You know, it ends up being a big deal, and at the end of a year and a lot of torture, they say, okay, you can go home, you know? So I don't think it's very smart to cooperate in investigations, you know, especially if you're innocent. You know you didn't do it. And if you're trying to be cooperative and you say, look, I was at work all morning, I don't know what you guys are talking about, and I'm leaving now. I mean, that's more than enough cooperation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's why it's like I always preach to the guys over here at work when you're about the DUIs, if you get pulled over, deny it. They're always arguing with me, but, hey, one guy, I try to tell one guy, head him your way, but he fought it on his own, and now he's paying thousands of dollars on, he doesn't have his license no more. I'm like,
really?
I told you, pay a little money, and this guy will help you out.
Wow, well, I appreciate the thought of me, but even so, you have to be aware of it. You know, the rights exist for a reason. And what Tom was talking about today with respect to free speech and the First Amendment and everything, you know, it's definitely what you call use it or lose it. And, you know, the rights exist and they have to be fought for. Freedom is not free. But if you don't exercise your rights and you're willing to waive your rights and you're willing to let the First Amendment get crushed, then it's not going to exist. I mean, maybe it'll be on paper, and that's nice, but it won't exist in real life because that's the danger. And you talk about the chilling of rights where, like you talk about your friend, that he didn't really, you know, affect himself and he didn't push himself and he didn't protect himself and he didn't hire counsel. And, of course, he got screwed. And if enough people roll over like that, then these things will, you know, as a factual matter, cease to exist.
All right, thank you for the call, Mario. 901-3000, Tom, is our telephone number. More of your telephone calls for Adam Sachs on this bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show are coming up.
You're listening to the Internet's number one call-in show, 901-3000, Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Okay, boys, let's talk about step-ups. That's step-ups, top-quality insoles. Now, as you know, chicks bring so many deceiving tactics to the game, it's ridiculous. Fake knockers, nails, eyelashes, hair color. How about high heels? Women are never the height they appear to be. Well, now it's your turn to even the playing field, and that's where step-ups come in. With step-ups, anyone, even you, can be 2 inches taller instantly. Thanks to revolutionary technology, step-ups fit perfectly inside your shoe, and no one will ever know they're there. And while wearing step-ups, you can do anything you normally do. Get them now for the ridiculously low price of $21.95, and not only that, for a limited time only, enter coupon code TOM101 and get free lifetime replacement on your step-ups. Did you hear that? Lifetime replacement for Tom Likas Show listeners only. Plus, they'll throw in a free upgrade to priority shipping. Go to step-ups.com for a unique, ultra-comfortable walking on air experience. Life is short. You don't have to be. Get step-ups today.
A man. A man and his truck. A man, his truck, and his favorite radio station. And come the ballads, and the broads, and the bullshit. Now that man is driving around in his truck, in a storm, in the mud, looking for his balls. Over here, dummy. New Normal.
Let's talk about El Pollo Inca. El Pollo Inca restaurant in Gardena is owned by our P1 listener Antonio Atoche and his brothers, and they serve the best Peruvian food you'll find anywhere, including their famous Pollo a la Brasa, which is delicious rotisserie chicken. And that's just a start. They've got tons of amazing beef, chicken, seafood, and vegetarian dishes, and a friendly staff. Get their special chicken soup complimentary with every meal, and man, is it good. Plus, get this, the soup is all you can eat when you're dining in. El Pollo Inca, on West Artesia Boulevard in Gardena, right on the 91, and where the 110, 405, and 91 meet. Check out their full bar, offering specialty drinks like their killer Pisco Sour, a signature Peruvian cocktail. And don't miss their hard-to-find Peruvian beers. They've got karaoke on Thursday nights, salsa dancing Friday through Sunday nights, even salsa classes if you want to learn. Get info at this number, 310-516-7378, or visit elpolloinca.com. El Pollo Inca, 1425 West Artesia Boulevard in Gardena, close to the 710 and minutes from the 605. Easy to get to, lots of free parking, no excuses. Get your ass out to El Pollo Inca in Gardena.
Hammer time.
The Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We are here with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Before we run out of time, Adam, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you.
Well, you can call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. You can check my website, which is www.adamlawyer.com. I'm also on Facebook. A lot of people writing me there, which is always nice. And you can give me an email, which I love, which is adam@adamlawyer.com.
Okay, there you go. 901-3000, Tom. That's our telephone number. Jason in Huntington Beach. You're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam. Hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great.
What's up, Jason?
Yeah. Hi, hey, buddy. I've met you a couple of times, and I've been dying to ask you this question. And every time I've always forgot to ask you. Before I tell you what the question is, probably about 7 years ago, I was driving back right after a 15-hour airplane flight. I'm driving home. 2 or 3 miles before my house, I go through a sobriety checkpoint.
Oh, okay.
And nothing to drink, no drugs, no nothing. The guy's like, oh, how much have you drinking? Nothing. And so we blew into this. No problem. So I blew into it. Zero came up.
No, why'd you do that?
Well, I had no alcohol in my system. Like, what's the problem? No deal.
Fuck that noise. I don't trust that machine. No way.
Well, the fact that I didn't have anything to drink, no problem. Well, the guy says, step out of the car. I said, well, I said, I haven't had anything to drink. He goes, well, I don't think you had anything to drink. I think you're on drugs. I said, I'm not on drugs. I just got back from a 15-hour flight. I said, I'm tired. He goes, well, you seem pretty hyper. I said, well, no. I said, I'm nervous. I'm sitting here. You're questioning me. So they gave me a sobriety test. I'm like, So they tilt your head back, count to 20. Yeah, tilt my head back, counted to 20. He goes, well, you count to 20 pretty fast. So then I started seeing what kind of mind games they're playing. So the whole thing was set up for me to fail. So they put me in handcuffs. He goes, we're going to question you some more. I said, for what? And I went into this whole thing because I import products from other countries. Some things have medical claims on it. I get questioned by the FDA, and it's a law. You have to be medically trained to diagnosed, prescribed. And I said, what kind of medical training do you have? So I started drilling him. He ended up letting me go, but they were so close to arresting me. I said, well, I want a blood test. I said, I'll prove right there. And I said, by the way, I want to get reimbursed for any kind of expenses or having my car towed or anything. He goes, that's not going to happen. So my question is for you, I ended up getting out of that, but my question is, what happens if you say, I want a blood test, they take you down, because they had tow trucks right there to tow people's cars, what happens if they tow your car and you're completely innocent? What happens to any expenses that you may incur?
Yeah, that's the cruelty, right? You know, in our life in the United States, you're supposed to pay your own way. And so, for example, if you're charged with a criminal offense and you pay your lawyer, you know, I don't know, $20,000 to defend yourself and you get acquitted, you don't get the $20,000 back, right? That's right. Just how it goes. So as cruel as it is, I've talked to a lot of guys, you know, that ended up incurring all sorts of expenses of storage and towing and so forth. That does not come back. That's just
against you. And even though you're not guilty, you've had no alcohol, no drugs, nothing, just you're out the money.
That's how it is because, you know, that's part of what's going on in the policing. There are some places where what they do, you won't even believe this, when it's related to particularly drugs, they'll auction off your car and sell it. They have the right to seize your property. So you get pulled over for drugs. They take your car. You go to jail. You have a trial. You're found not guilty, or the charges are never filed in the first place, is dismissed, and it turns out that by the time you go to get your car, it's already been auctioned and it's already been sold, and you have to try to get the money back from the county. This is the nonsense that happened. Senate, who's our good friend Mr. Checkpoint, had dogs in his car, and they took the dogs and they put them in, I don't know, a doggy kennel or whatever, and it was a big hassle for him and ended up costing him a lot of money. But that's just one of the realities. And I know that it's frustrating for people who don't have a lot of money and they get a towing bill, you know, $600, $1,000 or whatever. And it's like, what the hell did I do? I was found innocent. So it's absolutely not fair. Best avoid it altogether, right?
I was literally seconds away from going to, or at least taken down to have a blood test when I had no drugs, nothing in my system.
I know. I got mixed feelings about the way you handled it, though. I'm glad it worked out for you. But I don't think you should do the field tests. I don't think you should be talking to the cops. You know, these, you see how nasty they are sometimes. They're not really trying to help you, you know. So, you know, you told them your answer. Look, I'm not drunk. Leave me the hell alone. And he actually did the blow. You see, that's the frustrating thing. He did the blow test. It comes back zero. And you see that just pisses him off even more. And now he's coming back for more. Now he's saying, hey, wait a minute. You passed the blow test. I think you're on narcotics or whatever, you know. They're not going to just be satisfied with, oh, you're okay, you can go, you know. That's too easy. They got to get the piss out of you somehow.
Jason, thank you for the call. Here's Danny in Corpus Christi, Texas. Danny, you're on with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Tom, man. Adam, that's my voice I'm going to use when I win that contest.
Oh, all right.
No way, man.
Anyway.
I'm winning the contest. You can forget it.
No, but my question was, I had two questions. One was your client, once he was at home, does he have to go with police if they're insisting that he go take blood tests, or can he make an appointment? I mean, he's at home already.
Yeah, I know what you mean. There's an interesting case about that. No, I understand. You don't have any particularly more rights at your house, by the way, not like that. And they didn't come break it in the door. They rang the doorbell like normal people, and he came to the door. There's an interesting case where there was a guy who had apparently been involved in some kind of a violent crime, and he had supposedly blood underneath his fingernails. And the police wanted to take samples, and he basically wanted to wash his hands, you know. And it was later determined, you know, that that would have destroyed the evidence. And so when you talk about what you're saying, if he says, I'm not coming with you, I'll meet you tomorrow or I'll meet you later, fundamentally, that would be destroying evidence, because the evidence is his blood, as it is now. And so if he came back, you know, hours and hours later or the next day or something, obviously if they were trying to show that he had an alcohol level in his blood, it would be gone by then. So it's just like that thing about, you know, not being allowed to wash the hands. You know, you can't put off the gathering of evidence, even if you don't make statements. There's still physical evidence. And in murder scenes and some other things, the police will actually put like a plastic Ziploc bag over your hand. To keep the evidence. So even though you're not speaking, there's still physical evidence that may be gathered from you against your will. The fact that Robert actually went to his house, certainly they were, you know, in pursuit of him. There's a question of whether it was hot pursuit, but basically they followed this oil trail or whatever it was, antifreeze, that was leaking from the scene of the accident to his house. And so I think if he had not voluntarily come to the door, or if he had run out the back door or something like that, I think they would have had the right to get him anyway. I don't think they need to come back, you know, later on with a warrant or whatever, because I think they knew that he had to be there and that he might escape if they didn't get him at that point. So there are some protections, but you know, it's limited.
I mean, did he have to even answer the door though, or could he have just ignored
him? Yeah. I think because of the trail and because the accident had just recently happened, I think you could say that they were still in hot pursuit. Technically speaking, you've heard about these people that, let's say, were near the border between California or Texas and Mexico, and they were being chased by the police, and they got across the border into Mexico. Well, if the police are in hot pursuit, which means they're pursuing you at that time, later on they can't just go into Mexico and get you. But if they're pursuing and you cross into Mexico, they can follow you into Mexico, and they can follow you into other counties and whatnot. That's called hot pursuit. And so I think if he was being followed, you know, directly from this accident, even if he didn't open the door, I think they could have, you know, broken it or whatever. I think they have the right to do that.
Oh.
As it turns out, he lived with other people, his parents, and they opened the door. So you can never count on your damn roommate, you know. I've had a couple of cases where the roommate let the cops in and let the cops search the room, you know.
Yeah. Well, my other question was that, like, when he went over there, could he say, you know, I'm going to take the blood test. I'm just waiting for my lawyer to get here. Do they have to wait for the attorney to get there, or does he have to take once they're ready?
No, the real connection, you got to remember, in the case of the physical evidence, they have the right to take it without the lawyer. What the lawyer is there is for the talking, which is your confession, your cooperation, your making statements. And generally speaking, when the police are questioning you and you're in some kind of an arrest, which means that you're not free to leave, then that's when you get the right to have a lawyer. And at that moment, you say, I don't want to talk. I don't want to answer your questions. I want to have my attorney present. And that's something that they have to discontinue the questioning at that point until your attorney arrives.
All right, Danny, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's get Lawrence in Bellingham, Washington. Lawrence, you're on the Tom Likas Show with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs.
Hello. Hey, Lawrence, what's up?
Hey, not a lot. Real quick, Tom, years ago you had a segment about who's driving drunk on the
We do it every
road.
Year.
I did a few weeks ago.
Yeah, just did it.
That was a great one.
I just started listening a couple days ago. I found you online. Anyways, real quick, I was in a small town south of Seattle. Pot was legal the first of the year, whatever. I'm driving, you know, getting the head from the girlfriend. Anyways, yeah.
While you drive, that must be hard to concentrate, man.
It was real hard when she pulled me over, kind of an okay-looking chick, and my pants were down.
Oh, dear.
Driving my mom's car, my ID's under the seat.
Oh, of course, your mom's car.
Oh, fumbling around. Couldn't find my insurance. I did all the tests, all the coercion.
You did the field test and everything?
Yeah, this was just for pot. I wasn't drunk.
No, come on. It's all the stuff I'm telling you not to do.
Okay, so, and I like the other segment about not taking the deal right away, so I didn't know that I couldn't defend myself, so I don't know, maybe I watched Good Will Hunting. I said I was going to represent myself right before court. You know, I said, no, I'm not guilty. My legal limit was 5.03 when they did the blood test, and the legal limit in Washington is 5.0 my question is, can you say anything about how foods like omega, flax seeds, I know sometimes in some cases, you know, people get off for something like that, but in the court of law, could I say, like, I take omega flax seeds, which, you know, I looked into is, like, sometimes, it, you know, it's 0.06 that, you know, to whatever. Is there something like that I could say?
Yeah, you know, one of the craziest things that happens, you know, being Jewish and all, I love bagels. And bagels have those poppy seeds, you know, poppy bagels. Mm-hmm. And that is the same, I mean, it is the very same poppy that you see being used to make heroin. People don't realize that. And believe it or not, if you eat poppy bagels or other, you know, I guess products with poppy seeds, whatever that is, you could test positive for heroin. Can you believe that? That's actually true. And so when you think about, I don't know, marijuana in particular, but when you're talking about some of these supplements and some of these flax seed and some of these other things, that's possible. I don't know. That throws off the marijuana test. Anything's possible if that's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, is that something I could defend? I know.
I think you should do a little internet research. And by the way, get yourself a lawyer. And I'm licensed in your state, by the way. I'm licensed in Washington State. I'd be happy to help you. But you shouldn't be doing this yourself anyway.
Yeah. Oh, the second part of it was the day before, I was supposed to go to court, represent myself, pick a jury of my own peers. I thought, you know, somebody
here is all. Why don't you have a lawyer? Please get a lawyer. Come on.
Is there a conflict of interest when the cop pulls me over the day before court, you know, points guns to my head?
The same cop pulled you over again?
Yeah, I was actually, I had a cigarette lighter from my mom brought back from Singapore, and I was just kind of messing around with my lady, you know, and then we're driving, somebody calls the cops, and it was the same cop that pulled me over.
What are the odds?
You know, maybe I was messing around, but they point guns on me, they hog, put the handcuffs on.
Why? Why
do
they react like that?
Because I have a cigarette lighter that somebody called in and said it was a gun. Is there a conflict of interest I can go with here? Or?
I don't know. I mean, it sounds like it's just a coincidence that it was the same cop, but it was a very small town, right?
Yeah, it's a podunk town. Nobody
so
cares.
Maybe the town only has two cops or something.
Yeah, so I guess nothing there.
I don't know. I mean, did he act strangely towards you, like he remembered you or something?
Yeah.
You say you're that same asshole I arrested last week.
Yeah, he said, I got you again, fucker, but they let me go this time.
What a guy. All right, well, I'm sorry to hear it, man. I don't know. I don't know if that's a conflict. It's awfully strange, I'll give you that.
All right, Lawrence. Thank you for the call. All right, once again, Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
You can reach me at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Definitely check my website, www.adamlawyer.com, and send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com, and contact me on Facebook.
All right. Adam Sachs, you hear him here every Tuesday for a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show, beginning at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Over 700,000 tune-ins every month. Don't fuck with us. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Infidel.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com, click on the Beer Magazine banner, get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beers.
I am an infidel.
Beer Magazine. New survey says America's men describe their perfect woman as blonde, blue eyes, and a graduate degree.
Never even. In fact, I dated a girl just like that with a graduate
degree. How'd that work out for you, the smarty pants?
I had to go to art gallery openings and shit.
What was the name of the art gallery?
Pussy.
Pussy is literally called
Pussy. Yeah, but the little dude from Austin Powers was there, so I felt better. Not Vern Troyer, the other one. Right. Yeah. The one with red hair. Seth. He was
not McFarlane.
Not McFarlane. Seth Green.
Green.
He was there. He was tiny too.
All right. You saying he was whipped as well?
No. I'm just saying I felt bad. Like, actually, I ended up staying next to him most of the time.
You felt tall and tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just said,
he gets hot broads, that kid.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You got to see his wife now. Jesus Christ almighty.
Is she a porn star or something?
No, she's a
big knocker, so.
She's incredible. She is a comic. She looks like a female comic book hero.
Mm.
She's something else. All right.
145,000 men surveyed, by the way, and I have to mention that it was conducted by something called whatsyourprice.com.
Oh, yeah, we had that dude on that owns that, I think.
That dude.
Brandon Wade.
These are all desperate guys that are looking for broads, and they fill out some kind of survey. They say they're looking for an intelligent woman, you know.
Damn.
Yeah.
They're probably not that far off.
Yeah, they probably don't realize what they're asking for. Because sooner or later, they're going to be down at the Pussy Gallery.
No, you just got to cut that broad loose.
You got to do 50,000 bong hits before you go see her.
And secretly take ecstasy the whole time.
Yes.
And then, well, that's what happens when you
rolling on the down low, is what they call it.
Rolling big time.
Is it a big deal that Judd Apatow is coming out against Bill Cosby?
I thought you said Judd Apatow is coming out. Judd Apatow coming out. I don't see why he even has to chime in.
Being very vocal about the fact that he feels that Bill Cosby should be in jail. Absolutely.
He must know somebody
in jail.
Personally that Bill Cosby allegedly affected.
Mm, right. Mm. So he's been going on and on about it on Twitter, and I guess he was on that What the Fuck podcast, and also now people are reporting that he said some things there as well. I thought that everybody thought that Bill Cosby should be in jail. I didn't think it was a big stance to be taken.
Yeah, I had no idea. I mean, how hard is it to say that Bill Cosby should be in jail? It's kind of easy. He's really stepping out there.
It's like the Golden Globes jokes about Bill Cosby. Like, everybody was like, ooh, can't say that too early. Well, I mean, why? Why? Why can't you just come out and say it?
Right. I mean, he's not really, going out there on a ledge, but whatever. The best thing about Judd Apatow is his wife, the Hooters girl from Big Daddy. Hooters. Right. It's the best thing.
A judge near Seattle today dismissed domestic violence assault charges against Hope Solo. A week before the case was set to go to trial, I guess she beat the fuck out of her half-sister or something.
But it's dismissed, so I guess it never happened.
It's perfectly okay for broads to beat up broads.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, if she was a dude, it would be different.
We'd be in jail. There's no soccer playing anymore.
Mm.
It's done.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Speaking of the Golden Globes, Monica Lewinsky making an appearance, and I don't understand her relationship with Alan Cumming.
Isn't that dude?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So why are they hanging together? Apparently, they've been friends since the 90s or something.
Do they look like an unlikely duo?
Exactly. Well, considering that she's known for the world's most famous blowjob, it seems rather odd that she's hanging
together. I don't know. If our friend is that way, maybe they both can discuss blowjobs then.
Oh, yeah, they have something in common. They both like to suck cock, you say.
Yeah.
If he's that way.
Right. I think he may have. Alan's a good dude.
Yeah.
I think.
Finally, a pig alert for you. You mentioned Jody Marsh yesterday. Here she is on her Twitter account. I had to go and poke around a little bit, so to speak. I found her completely naked, just getting out of the shower. And she's covering her titties. She's doing the hand bra, the forearm bra thing. You know? It's pretty fucking good. I got to tell you, man. Ridiculous.
But tell you what, she is absolutely perfect. She has stepped up to the plate and has really done a nice thing.
Plenty more news for guys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary's Dino.
Pussy.
Check out the podcast. Hey. GaryandDino.com is where you find it. Brand new show every single Friday. It's GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas show right after this.
Hey, P1s. Our show and our company, The New Normal, are one big experiment. And whether we continue into the future depends on whether we can generate enough revenue to pay our guys and our various expenses. One painless way you can help to guarantee that we'll be here is to use the Amazon.com link at blowmeuptom.com or on our Facebook page. Now, we don't ask you to buy anything you don't want or need. By clicking on our Amazon link, you'll get the same low Amazon prices you always get. And Amazon will look exactly the same to you. But the new normal gets credit every time you visit Amazon through our link. By using the Amazon link at blowmeuptom.com, you can get computers, electronics, games, clothing, just about anything, even groceries, at ridiculously low prices. And the revenue we get from Amazon helps us to keep the number of commercials to a reasonable level. Do it while you're thinking about it. Go to blowmeuptom.com or the Tom Likas Show Facebook page and click on our Amazon links to do your Amazon shopping. And pass our link along to your friends. The Amazon.com link from blowmeuptom.com.
This is the new normal.
I had to go to art gallery openings and shit.
What was the name of the... What was the name of the art gallery?
Pussy.
Pussy is literally called...
Pussy.